This is an interview with Bill Cox for the Youngstown State University Canfield Fair Project. I, Carrie Stanton, at the Mahoning County Extension Service on May 18th, 1983, at approximately 11 a.m. Yeah, you can talk to me.
Okay.
And tell me about your own background, you know, where you went to school, your parents. You live around here all the time.
My background comes from Wayne County, where I was born in Orchard. Attended Ohio State Worcester High School in Wayne County.
Mm-hmm.
Ohio State University, interrupted by World War II, served in the Army Air Corps, returned, picked up a bachelor's degree in 1948, worked on a fruit and vegetable farm. Excuse me. And then I started working for the Cooperative Extension Service in Portage County as 4-H agent, was there from 1948 to 56, came to Mahoning County in 56, and have been here as 4-H agent or agriculture agent since that time.
Mm-hmm. There's two jobs intertwined?
Well, I left Portage County and merely came to Mahoning County.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean the 4-H and the extension.
We've been fortunate enough for years to have a county 4-H agent.
Mm-hmm.
And a county agriculture agent.
Mm-hmm.
And in 56, I served as 4-H agent, and
mm-hmm.
then in 57, and since then, I've been agriculture agent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When was it, Jimmy? 49?
No, 56.
56. Okay. And how are you connected with the Canfield Fair?
In the Red Book, which is the guidelines that the fair operates under the Ohio Department of Agriculture in this state, there is proviso for ex officio members. The county superintendent of schools and the county agriculture
mm-hmm.
agent have
mm-hmm.
been in the past and currently are eligible to serve as ex officio, not elected,
mm-hmm.
Members of the local fair.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, it's the Mahoning County Agricultural Society
mm-hmm.
or Canfield Fair
mm-hmm.
Board.
And what would your role be with the fair?
In Mahoning County, the fair is an extremely important community function, and it has and continues to be very important as far as this office that I work for, known as Cooperative Extension, because out of this office, the 4-H program emanates, and also from a total fair point of view, we're concerned with agriculture. Lee Kohler, for instance, has a hay and grain show.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he operates that as the director at Canfield Fair, but
mm-hmm.
because we are concerned with economical production of quality forage out of the cooperative extension programs, and we're quite interested in what he does as far as his hay and grain
mm-hmm.
show.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing is true with Bob Wiley with his livestock, particularly
mm-hmm.
his dairy and beef.
Mm-hmm.
But a main emphasis now in terms of actual fair involvement is through the 4-H program.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a county 4-H agent in this county who works directly with the 4-H members and the 4-H programming and the volunteers. But over the years, we've had a number of changes of people in that position. So
mm-hmm.
I suppose one function in connection with Canfield Fair Board deals with maintenance of continuity
mm-hmm.
of programming and working relations with
mm-hmm.
the Fair Board, because particularly in this county, it is an extremely important community-wide
mm-hmm.
function.
Mm-hmm. So that would be what they call the Junior Fair.
Junior Fair, a part of the Junior Fair. The total Junior Fair embraces not only 4-H, which is the, quote, lion's, unquote, share because of just sheer numbers, but also there are Boy Scout exhibits, Girl Scout, Campfire, Junior Grange, and I can't remember, Farm Bureau on occasion, both in terms of participation on the Junior Fair Board and in terms of contributing exhibits and participating in fair displays. Admittedly, the 4-H wasn't necessarily designed that way, but admittedly 4-H is the dominant factor because they have a historical track record of having been involved in the fair for,
mm-hmm.
oh my goodness, over 60
years. Mm-hmm. So, I know this is kind of short notice for this, but can you compare what it was like in the 4-H during the fair time then as compared to now?
Well, I've been here since 56, and the major changes that have occurred in 4-H is that there are a number of other program activities. You start basically with exhibiting your livestock or
mm-hmm.
the garment you have constructed
yeah.
or the food you have prepared or whatever. You start
mm-hmm.
with the basic exhibit. Then over the years, many programs have been added. They've added a steer sale, a lamb pig sale, the 4-H clothing demonstrations, style reviews have been expanded. The King and Queen activity was started in, incidentally, that was started about 1953 or 54, and Leland Knopf, who was in mathematics at Youngstown State University, was the first Mahoning County 4-H King.
Really?
That's interesting.
That's interesting, yeah.
Anyhow, I mention that because you're at Youngstown State, and Leland is in the mathematics department.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
I know who he is.
Do you know him?
Uh-huh.
Okay. He was the first Mahoning County 4-H King.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that type of activity, there have been other things added. The Youth Day program has modified. It's a free activity in front of the grandstand on Youth Day, Thursday afternoon. Mm-hmm. It's been expanded. So the biggest changes I've observed have been the number of extra activities, the 4-H horse show that they run on Sunday and Monday during the fair. So they've added a lot of things in addition to your basic exhibits in the 4-H building, number 25, or in the livestock area. Second thing is, I've noticed the shift in Mahoning County, and particularly in livestock, from your old line livestock like dairy and beef and so forth. There's been a major increase in the number of horses.
Yeah.
Back 25, 30 years ago, horse projects in 4-H were pretty much pony, a few ponies and a few draft horses.
Mm-hmm.
Now in Mahoning County alone, there must be 400 to 500 horse projects taken by 4-H members. And there are a lot of activities in connection with that, both during the fair as well as other times of the year. A third area that's been a major change in particular connection with the Canfield Fair is that 25 years ago, the north end was livestock. We had no livestock in the south end except racehorses and racing ponies. And the open class ponies were moved south as the fair board was able to obtain funding to provide the facilities in the south quarter. They also moved poultry and lambs, pigs or sheep and swine, and in recent years have been able to move the dairy south. So 25 years ago, all of that was concentrated in the north end. Now in the north end, the only livestock we have is 4-H and also the open class beef. And as one looks back, you wonder how we ever got all that other livestock in the north end. Lambs and pigs in 4-H have expanded in numbers. Steers come and go in numbers, but they're the same or higher than they were 25 years ago. And the poultry and rabbit and some of these small animal projects in 4-H have been expanding also.
Do you see a lot of city kids, quote unquote, in 4-H now as compared to some years ago?
I think the trend is, yes, the trend in Mahoning County is there, whether there's, quote, city kids, unquote, who live in Youngstown, Campbell Struthers, Austintown, or Canfield, or who live on 2 acres or 5 acres out in Goshen Township or Ellsworth Township. Those 4-H members who are really not associated with commercial farmers are quite numerous as far as the 4-H program is concerned. The concentration is still out in your rural suburban area. There are increasing numbers in the suburban area, but the concentration is still pretty much out. Suburban type of area.
Would it primarily be kids who have horses that board them, you know, and still want to belong to the 4-H club?
Some of them board them. Some of them keep them on their own property. Same thing is true of lambs and pigs. In Mahoning County, my judgment, and that's subject to debate, but my judgment indicates there are 400 to 500 commercial farm units. Embracing dairy, beef, fruit, vegetables, greenhouse floors, and a number of other areas. So when you look at that and you look at the 4-H enrollment of 1,700 at least in 4-H, why there are a lot of non-farm 4-Hers.
It's always interesting because the steer, contest where they raised the
show and sale. They're doing the same thing for lambs and pigs now.
How does that work?
Well, in the steer, we'll use that as an example.
Okay.
This office, there are 3 paid staff people here who are members of the faculty at Ohio State University, College of Agriculture and Home Economics, the County Home Ec agent, the County 4-H agent, the County Ag agent. And the amount of work we do is primarily with voluntary leaders. We're responsible for educational programs, non-credit educational programs. And so in the I'll use the 4-H program as an example. There are similar examples in home economics and agriculture. There are around 400 voluntary leaders who operate the 4-H clubs out of this office. There is a county market livestock committee made up of parents who are elected by the members. They have a steer section, a lamb section, and a pig section. Okay, at the current time, that committee functions. They've been doing this for years. They will set a date in September, orders for the last September, orders for the 1983 steers have to be into the committee by September 25th or whatever it is, together with a deposit. Then the committee secures the animals, and those animals are distributed, to the 4-H or FFA members. We have future, Future Farmers of America. they're an active group. We don't have too many chapters in Mahoning County at the fair, but there are several, and they too are eligible, just as the 4-H'ers, for the County Market Livestock Club. Okay, the committee decides steers have to be ordered, feeder calves have to be ordered by September 25th, FFA and 4-H'ers get your order in, together with the deposit, and the animals are obtained, distributed.
Who pays for them?
4-H member, or the FFA
Oh, they
member.
Pay for their own?
Mm-hmm.
Here.
Oh, yes.
Are they expensive?
Oh, yes. You're talking feeder calves running like 400 pounds. If you're talking about 80, 90 cents a pound, you're talking about $350 or more.
They can't be too poor.
That's true. it's an expensive thing. It's whatever the market price is running for those animals at that particular time. Now, the committee is looking at buying animals in the fall of 1983 for 84 from local sources, if the local beef, commercial beef folks can come up with enough feeder calves. But back to the September of 1982 in preparation for this 1983, they got their orders in and they went and purchased the calves in the 350 to 400 pound range, brought them in to the members. The members paid for them, took them home. Are feeding them out right now in preparation for the show and the sale at the 1983 Canfield Fair. Now in 4-H, that is the one particular thing, lambs and pigs and steers, they're earmarked, those are started with specific reference to preparation for the Canfield Fair. Your other projects like sowing and nutrition and woodworking, electricity and vegetable gardening and horses, etc. Those projects go on and they come to the fair to exhibit, but the lambs and pigs and steers are aimed specifically at showing and selling at the fair.
So they're grown for that year?
Well, it depends. The steers are purchased like September, October, fed out, aiming to have them at their peak prime stage by the Canfield Fair.
That's their peak prime stage?
That takes that long to get them to the 1,000 pound or thereabouts mark that they're seeking to achieve in growth. The lambs and pigs are obtained in the spring of the year because they don't take as long to reach maturity in connection with the Canfield Fair.
And they pay for their own?
Oh yes, that's a part of the 4-H program.
Then when they sell, they get the money.
Yes. They pay a percentage. They have an insurance fund, a self-insuring fund in case animals die during the year, this sort of thing. But this committee functions voluntarily. They receive no money for their services. So they, and the fair board pays for the facilities over at the fairgrounds for the exhibit, and the auctioneer donates his service. So there are some costs, like the pictures they have taken to give to the buyers, things of that nature, but the bulk of it, they have very few expenses because it's provided by the fair board and by other folks. And so the bulk of that money that's received does go to the youngsters. Yes, it's a part of the whole concept of teaching youngsters or providing them with the opportunity to learn One, how to work. Take pride in your work. Be fair. Be competitive, but be fair. And three, profit and loss. Sometimes you make a profit. Sometimes you have a loss. And that's the way this semi-capitalistic system works in this country.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's really a learning experience for them.
The foragers have a motto, learning by doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they try to practice.
Mm-hmm.
An interesting experience
mm-hmm.
for.
Yeah. Do you recall of any instances when kids raise their steers and just don't want to part with them?
Well, it's a very common thing. I've seen big 16, 17-year-old football players in 4-H. Before that steer goes, I've seen them go over and put their arm around that steer's neck, and you know they're not feeling very happy. But that's, again, a part of the learning process.
Mm-hmm.
Girls, same thing, boys and girls, face the same problem. They become very attached. In fact, the family
mm-hmm.
becomes very attached. And that's true whether it's a steer, a lamb, or a pig that they're going to lose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can they renege on that selling?
Not if the sale's been made.
Uh-huh.
And there's nothing really to be gained. If they do not want to sell the animal, they do not have to
mm-hmm.
do so.
Mm-hmm.
But they can then take a lamb or a pig or a steer project in 4-H and participate in the fair, all of the educational activities,
mm-hmm.
including showing, but they do not have to sell under those
mm-hmm.
conditions.
Mm-hmm.
But if they want to participate in the show and auction sale,
mm-hmm.
then, could you hold that, Tony? Mom. Yeah, just a lawn, turf. Mm-hmm. Well, it's from a cemetery. Okay, well, he's dealing with turf, so, yes. Yeah, horticulture, commercial turf. Okay? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Do they get premium?
Yes. There
do
are...
Do they pay money?
No.
Just ribbon?
The junior fair at Canfield is different. The fair board has made the proviso, first, there is no entry fee. Now, if you and I enter open class
yeah.
in clothing,
mm-hmm.
fine arts,
mm-hmm.
or in livestock, or hay and grain, or any place, we pay a small entry fee.
Mm-hmm.
The junior exhibitors do not pay an entry fee.
Mm-hmm.
They receive ribbons according to the grade.
Yeah.
We don't go so much with first, second, and third, in many cases, in the youth program, as we go with A, B, C, and D. Now, there are rankings in some judging situations, but we go with what's called the Danish system in 4-H, A, B, C, D. Hence, in any ring of dairy animals that
mm-hmm.
come in, for instance, you will set them up first, second, down the road, grading. They may be all A's, they may be all B's, all C's, or even D's, or
mm-hmm.
any combination.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. So, the ribbons are provided by the fair board from their general revenue.
Mm-hmm.
The premiums, they're modest premiums, but there are premiums paid to each 4-H member who exhibits at the Canfield Fair. Then, in addition to those modest premiums, the fair board has long-standing support of the 4-H program because of its deep involvement in the fair by providing them with other things, like they pay the fees for those 4-H members who are honored to attend Club Congress, a statewide
mm-hmm.
4-H event in Columbus at Ohio State University. And there are other things that the fair board also
mm-hmm.
provides.
Mm-hmm.
In connection with the junior fair, there is a junior fair board, which is made up of members from FFA, from Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, Campfire Girls, 4-H, Farm
mm-hmm.
Bureau, Junior
mm-hmm.
Range.
Mm-hmm.
These folks serve at the pleasure of the senior fair
mm-hmm.
board, but they are responsible for planning, helping carry out the junior fair. And
mm-hmm.
during the fair, getting ready for the fair, a few days before particularly, and as well as during the fair, they are intimately involved in physically
yeah.
preparing as well as being present at the time of judging to record grades and this sort of thing.
These are adult volunteers
these
or
are juniors.
Kids?
These are usually 14, 15, 16, 17-year-olds. And again, we have some very fine people from the FFA and Girl Scouts, Campfire Girls, Junior
mm-hmm.
Girls, Farm
Bureau. Mm-hmm.
But again, it's dominated by the number of 4-H'ers merely because of the number of exhibits
mm-hmm.
they have over there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real honor in Mahoning County for the Junior Fair Board to be selected to serve on Junior Fair Board.
I would think.
they, it's a real honor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the fair is most supportive of youth programs in this county, both by providing the opportunity for exhibits in mm-hmm. connection with the Canfield Fair, but also in terms of supporting, that's one reason the premiums that are paid, like livestock may get, everyone who exhibits may get, I'd have to look it up in the book, but maybe $4 or $5
mm-hmm.
per head for what they exhibit,
mm-hmm.
regardless of the grade they get, which mm-hmm. may be good or bad, but that's the way it is. So the premiums are rather low. A woodworking project may receive a premium of $1. But in addition to that, then the Fair Board supports the total 4-H program by Club Congress, by supporting it financially, by other things that they do in connection with
the fair,
or with the 4-H program.
Uh-huh. Oh, I didn't realize that.
So it's all part of the interweaving of this as it's developed over the years. And we're most appreciative, really, in Mahoning County. We're very fortunate for the close working relation and the financial support, as well as mm-hmm. other support from the fair.
So the 4-H probably doesn't have financial problems like a lot of organizations are having now.
As far as the fair, we aren't overly blessed, but the mm-hmm. fair has made out well most years, unless it rains real bad,
mm-hmm.
financially, but there are always things. My goodness, there are people who visit the Fair Board who would like to see, well, the other night, the international folks, they would like to have more space,
mm-hmm.
of course.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some facilities, we'd like to see open class beef
mm-hmm.
move south. There's a drastic need for a new livestock or multi-purpose coliseum on the south side. There are needs for sewer lines,
yeah.
water lines. So the needs as far as the fair are concerned, all of which cost money and which have to come from fair operating revenue, they're very, very real and very, very vast. So
mm-hmm.
although we can say, well, the fair has done well financially over the last 50 years, there's still much need. And as far as the 4-H program,
mm-hmm.
there are always things that we'd like to have in connection with the 4-H exhibits.
Mm-hmm.
And the Fair Board has to take those into consideration as they also consider the other needs in connection
mm-hmm.
with the total fair.
Mm-hmm.
So with regards to the fair itself, 4-H has been treated very, very well over the years
mm-hmm.
by the Canfield Fair Board.
I thought some of them are new barns over there for the junior fair, aren't they?
Those new barns are in the south end.
Mm-hmm.
That's the new dairy complex.
No, I mean,
in the north
barns.
End.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
There were
the new pony ring?
That's a good example of a community joint effort. The Canfield Rotary, the Youngstown Rotary, the Rotary Foundation, the Charity Horse Show, Canfield Fair Board. Those folks all banded together with a lot of voluntary leadership from outside 4-H as well as 4-H in the
mm-hmm.
community, and raised, $40,000 or something last year, 1982.
Mm-hmm.
Tore down the old saddle horse judging area, erected a new new base, that is
mm-hmm.
new drainage facilities
mm-hmm.
as well as the fence and gates. Also put up a new building for a pavilion and also where the 4-H'ers can have
mm-hmm.
a area from which they serve food sandwiches,
mm-hmm.
soft drinks,
mm-hmm.
Milk, this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Good example of total community effort on that deal.
Yeah, I had heard the thing.
But there were no new barns in connection with that. There's a new
mm-hmm.
ring and a new pavilion. The barns that 4-H has in the north end of the fairgrounds are barns that we had from years and years ago, or
mm-hmm.
that we have inherited as open class ponies, open class sheep and swine, and open class dairy
mm-hmm.
move south as facilities became available through the fair activity.
I must be getting old. I'm thinking some of those barns are new.
Well, there were some put up in the late 50s or early 60s.
Uh-huh.
Buildings, barns 12
mm-hmm.
and 13 that housed
mm-hmm.
Saddle horses
mm-hmm.
for 4-H. They were erected in, I don't know, the late 50s, early
yeah.
60s. There were a couple of dairy barns put up that would be north of the Coliseum, but those were put up,
mm-hmm.
in the middle 50s.
Mm-hmm.
So in the north end, we really haven't had any new
mm-hmm.
construction
mm-hmm.
for livestock housing in recent
mm-hmm.
years, but because of the move south, we've been able to get.
Well, I don't think the Coliseum wasn't used by the 4-H until, well, not too long ago, was it?
It's been used ever since I've been here. I came in 56. Prior to that, I'm not sure, but
mm-hmm.
I know it was used for
mm-hmm.
some time prior to 56,
mm-hmm.
but how far, I don't know. Now, it was shared, of course, with the Open Fast Dairy, Open Fast Beef, and all 4-H livestock except horses.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since Open Fast Dairy has moved south,
mm-hmm.
it's shared by the 4-H livestock mm-hmm. except horses that use the ring,
mm-hmm.
and the Open Fast
mm-hmm.
Beef. Open Fast merely refers to that it's open to anyone, whatever the regulations are in the senior fair book. And if you and I qualify, whatever the requirements are, and pay our entry fee, we can enter in open class.
Mm-hmm.
The junior fair is different. There is no entry fee, and it's open to anyone who's involved with Boy Scouts, Girl
mm-hmm.
Scouts, Camp
mm-hmm.
Fire, and so forth,
mm-hmm.
as well as the 4-H program.
Mm-hmm.
And there are no entry fees involved
mm-hmm.
as far as the junior fair.
Mm-hmm. You've seen the steer entry grow quite a bit then.
Well, the steer numbers go up and down. They just had a 25th anniversary here. Bob Hammett, who's currently on
mm-hmm.
the fair board, Bob was 4-H agent in this
uh-huh.
county when they started the steer club, and Daryl Bacon, who's also on the fair board, was in on the original committee that
mm-hmm.
started the county steer club.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Daryl Bacon has served as secretary treasurer of that organization since I believe they started. So they have... I can't remember what Bob and Daryl said the number was the first year they started, but it's grown a lot
mm-hmm.
since then. But numbers go up and down.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even remember how many there were last year. It must have been around 80 or 90 steers, which
mm-hmm.
is a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
For a county like Mahoning,
mm-hmm.
we have a gross agriculture income of Mahoning of like $22 million
mm-hmm.
in 1982. Columbiana will have about twice that. Trumbull County, about the same
mm-hmm.
as we have here. Portage County, our neighbor to the northwest, about the same or a little more.
Mm-hmm.
So compared to a western Ohio county where you would have gross agriculture income of $90 or $100 million,
mm-hmm.
we are not a big grossing county.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to Vinton County and some of those in southeastern where the gross agriculture income is $3 or $4 or $5 million, we are big.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying is, relatively speaking, in Mahoning County, we have a substantial agricultural industry, but compared to some counties in western Ohio, we are not very large.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The people that come in and bid on the steer, are they usually from around here?
Yes, they don't have to be, but
mm-hmm.
because of transporting those live animals to a slaughterhouse,
mm-hmm.
they are almost exclusively from the local area.
Mm-hmm. I see on your sign out there, it says Ohio State University. How are you connected with the university?
This is, the Cooperative Extension Service is merely an extension of the College of Agriculture and Home Economics at Ohio State. The three agents, 4-H, Home Ec, and Ag, are members of the faculty at Ohio State. And the extension, so we're merely an extension. Cooperatively refers to it's cooperatively financed by the Board of Mahoning County
mm-hmm.
Commissioners, so Ohio State and the at the federal level.
Mm-hmm.
So that is merely a brief review of cooperative extension.
I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Is this the only agriculture college in Ohio?
In Ohio?
Ohio?
No. There are others that have offer agricultural colleges down or courses down in Wilmington. There are
mm-hmm.
other courses, and there are some in forestry and some other schools. I can't remember whether there are any others that grant four-year degrees or not
mm-hmm.
In Ohio, but down around Wilmington, I think there is one. And there's also the Ag Technical Institute over at Worcester that offers a two-year associate degree course
oh.
in agriculture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if we were connected with Ohio State.
Yes, this is a very direct connection. In fact, this building was built on land owned by the Board of Mahoning County Commissioners for the people of
mm-hmm.
Mahoning County, leased to the state of Ohio for $1
mm-hmm.
for 40 years. Then the state of Ohio erected this office building, which is shared by the Area Extension Center, the
mm-hmm.
other wing, which works in 9 counties, and the Mahoning County Extension
mm-hmm.
Office.
Mm-hmm.
They're another example of cooperative, and it's worked out well.
Mm-hmm.
That way you can share meeting rooms, restrooms, this sort of thing. Worked out very well
mm-hmm.
for all of us.
I'd like to ask people connected with the fair, why do you think this is such a special fair that it's so successful?
When I came to Mahoning County, I had worked in other counties and had a little bit of experience as a 4-H member or as an FFA member in other
mm-hmm.
counties. And in other counties, frequently the fair was referred to as, quote, their fair, unquote. In Mahoning County, it was very obvious as a newcomer. People discussed, whether it was in Youngstown, Campbell, Struthers, or down in Goshen Township, they talked about, quote, our fair, unquote. A distinct, vast difference.
Mm-hmm.
The second I would observe is that this has been, I've seen a lot of different fair board members come and go over the period of time I've been able to be here. This has always been a working fair board. They are honored to be on fair board, but they just don't sit there. They
mm-hmm.
work.
Mm-hmm.
That's critical.
Mm-hmm.
But they have the support, widespread support of the community. And that evidently, historically, just goes back decades and decades
mm-hmm.
and decades.
Mm-hmm. So it's part of the cooperation between mm-hmm. everyone.
Yes, mm-hmm. it has. I've been very, I was so delighted to see people talk about their, or our fair, not their fair,
mm-hmm.
meaning they are an intimate part of that fair. Well, gosh, you see, even in 4-H, there are examples of people who, gosh, who were in 4-H in the 40s and 50s, have grown up, now they have their children coming along,
mm-hmm.
going to 4-H camp or connection
mm-hmm.
with their. Or I see on fair board a number of folks who were 4-H, Roy Bowman, Lee Fuller, among others, were 4-H members, doesn't seem too many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that's a part of, I hope, development in our county, not only in 4-H, but elsewhere. My gosh, we need all the industrial development and agricultural development and economic growth that we can
mm-hmm.
develop in this
mm-hmm.
county. So
yeah.
It serves, I hope, several purposes, including enjoyment.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything you'd like to add?
The fair is a critical, important community a function, I think, both from an educational program point
uh-huh.
of view, or
uh-huh.
an informational point of view, and a fun point of view. And sometimes all three of those can kind of be rolled into one, and the youth fair attempts to do that. They attempt to have some fun and
uh-huh.
learn something and make some contributions uh-huh. to the community in general.
Uh-huh. All right. Thank you very much.
Okay.